Number one independent television network presents the following sports exclusive.
A crowd of close to 50,000 people is waiting to see not a football game, but America's fastest growing sport, professional soccer.
Soccer became a carnival of picnics, parties, togetherness, and fun. More than a game, it became a happening.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Soccer Specific Podcast, the Sounders Radio Hour. I'm your host, Sam Hardy. Alongside me, Will Pearson, Ben Johnson. Hello, boys.
Yep.
Episode 26, air horn. The Sounders now have a little North Star above their logo. That's because they won MLS Cup a long time ago. Apologies for such a tardy podcast. We were just very busy. Some of us were out of town.
I'm still drunk from the celebration.
Yeah, it's just overwhelmed with excitement for all this time. I'm only now able to speak clearly.
Yeah, I'm actually walking upright for the first time this week after getting a large Roman Torres tattoo on my back. But it's finally done, and the saran wrap's been removed along with the Vaseline, and I'm all good. So walking around like a person.
Life size, right?
Yeah. Yeah, to scale. Yeah.
It just curves around the body. It orbits most of your torso.
Did you guys get did Roman Torres like ring your doorbell and hug you and lift you up with a lift hug after the MLS Cup?
That was the best Christmas present I've ever received. My parents were surprised.
Who is this man at your door with the big hair?
Oh, it's Roman Torres here.
No, context, guys.
It's a Christmas miracle.
And then we do a dance afterwards. Yeah. Pretty great, though. I mean, it's one of those, like, and Will, we need to debrief on the whole, what does this all mean about winning and losing and all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
Pretty great. Pretty great.
Yeah, no, it is. Cup, it's, right?
It's great.
But
that's great.
It's already.
It's great, but how do you balance the legitimacy of this? Like, no.
I mean, that would have been so good if this was Will's Seattle Center in front of 10,000 people speech to everyone. All right, and now superfan Will Pearson here to give a speech. Will, here's the mic. And Will's like, all right, okay. Well, hear me out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you know what I'm going to say, though. Like... Like, how can we say that we were, you know, like, I understand that MLS Cup is not necessarily saying we're the best team in the league from start to finish, but when the league tries to bill it as the ultimate, like, goal of the season, then it's disappointing that it ultimately comes down to getting hot at the right time and turns into a playoff crapshoot, right? I mean, I think that the supporters' shield has a lot more value to it that has been stripped away with the unbalanced schedule. But you can still look at that and say, you know, like you were the best team for the better part of the season. And with us, like, goddamn, like, I love the Sounders. I love the organization. I love the players, but we were awful for stretches of this year. And I'm not talking like
the team had ever been.
I'm not talking about, like a Dallas, we punt a B squad and lose 5-0 awful. I mean, like, we were regularly just looking like garbage.
Yeah.
But hey, it doesn't matter because we won. We're champs.
Yeah, it was weird. Will was sitting right next to me when the whole thing went down. First of all, both of us were very intoxicated. So that was part of it. But the other thing was just that, it was just strange. I mean, we kept looking at each other. We were like, oh my God, like, yeah. I mean, okay, champions. All right. I mean, they had one shot on goal, maybe. Zero
yeah.
shots?
We took one shot, and I don't know if we put it on goal.
And then they had that, like, Roman Torres right in front of the net. Didn't quite get a shot off, but that was the most dangerous moment.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was, like, the 106th minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Remember, though, it was really cold there. I think that actually had a bigger impact on the game than I thought it would. It was cold in Toronto. That slows things way down.
It didn't really seem to slow down Toronto.
Hey, man.
They didn't look amazing.
No, they didn't.
I thought it was kind of a garbage final. I mean, from a neutral's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You know what was a better final that the Sounders played in?
What?
The U.S. Open Cup at Philly that went into extra time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll right? From like a...
I'll counter slightly with that was definitely a two-person goal. Wasn't it basically Dempsey and Obo like passing it back and forth all the way up the field for a goal?
For the second goal, and then the third goal was Leo Gonzalez bombed a ball over the top, and Obo made everyone look dumb, and nearly got his ankles destroyed by Zach McMath.
Oh, sure. For the record, Toronto did have a slight advantage in shots. The Sounders totaled 3 shots in the game, you guys.
Okay.
0 on target. Toronto had a mere 19 shots with 7 on target.
That's like a factor of 6-1, so.
Yeah, but the Sounders blocked 10 shots. That's pretty good.
You know what they say?
No.
100% of the shots you don't take are blocked.
Are blocked by Roman Torres.
Yeah.
I do recall a lot of their shots not really being that dangerous, though.
No, I'm looking at the shot sheet again, and they're mostly from far away. The one exception was the header from Josie that Stephen Fry made a Superman stretch maneuver save in overtime. That was the highlight of the game, though, right?
Yeah.
For both teams.
Is that what we remember when we're our little grandchildren are on our laps and we're like, let me tell you about the MLS Cup in 2016?
I remember Jones's PK.
That was a good one.
That was pretty great. So I don't want to fast forward too much, but the Super Draft was a couple days ago. Which is pretty amazing.
But here we go.
We want to cover that on this podcast. And I bring it up. We're going to go back to MLS Cup. Don't worry. Because we got him in the effing Super Draft last year for like a pick and like some TAM or something, right?
Yeah. Or good GAM. Move.
GAM.
Jones, yeah.
Slow clap, Garth Lagerwey. Like, slow clap. Nicely done. I mean, I usually go into Superdraft not really thinking we're going to get much of anything. This year, Sounders pick up in the first round a dude from, I think, Scooter, right? From
the Flip Cup team.
From Morris's Flip Cup team. Yeah.
Scooter! Gooch! Yeah. Scooter and Gooch, man.
He's got the... Yeah, anyway.
Maybe next year we can pick up into the Dewey. Cup.
Yeah. You guys want to go get some more beer?
Get the anchor leg on the team. Who is this kid? What do we know about him?
Brian
He's Scooter
Nana Sinkum.
Yeah, what's up with that guy?
He is a center back. I believe he's a right center back, which pairs nicely with Tony Clean Sheet Tony, who's a left center back. And apparently Garth and the club kind of want to get younger at the center back position. They want to kind of blood the next generation. Apparently this kid's a winner. He's won 2 championships in a row. Pretty big deal.
Did Stanford win again this year?
Yeah, twice in a row, even without JMO.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a smart kid. I don't know. He's a little bit undersized, 5'11", 170.
That's okay.
Yeah. I assume he's going to hit the weights and start the Sounders diet program.
Get some protein
I don't think
shakes.
He's going to play at all this year, though. Like, the Sounders usually, unless you're like an outside back or something, usually don't play in the first year. Or if you're, unless you're Christian Roldan.
Yeah. Did Clean Sheet Tony played in his first year.
Yep.
A yeah.
Anyway, some That's open fair. Cup stuff, some spot starts. Although you're right, Sam, he's this new guy is what? Well, he's only like fourth on the center back pecking order, right? Marshall, Torres, Clean Sheet Tony, and now both Jimmy Ockford and Damian Lowe are gone.
Yeah.
They're both gone.
Yeah.
Bunkmates, brethren, gone. So maybe he'll get some time.
Yeah.
Open Cup, yeah. There's Champions League to be had now.
No, there'll be opportunities. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to be like a big part of the senior roster.
In the rotation, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Which is fine.
And then they got Dominic Oduro from Montreal. No.
Different
one. No, you're thinking of Shmominik Shmonuro.
Shmonduro. No, I haven't played in the league before. I'm a
Why are you wearing
guy.
A large mustache?
This is my mustache. Where? What? It? Who's this guy?
5'5", plays primarily on the right, which means that the Sounders are going to play him as a holding midfielder for some reason.
Did you guys hear that like we picked up Jurgen Klinsmann as a consultant?
Oh.
He's going to give us great tips on where to play our players.
Nice. Yeah. Go ahead, just get out there. Be gritty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have
he
fun.
Suggested
Express
that we
yourselves.
Move Benny Failhaber back to the bench of Sporting Kansas City.
Jurgen, he doesn't play for our team. Yeah, I know this, but be creative. Flip the pyramid. Including that on your own team. So, Sam, you said you were going to connect back to the MLS Cup from this super draft, and I haven't seen it yet.
You want to connect back? I'll connect back for you.
Yeah, do it.
One of the best PKs that we've ever seen and that helped us win the MLS Cup was taken by the guy that we got in the super draft this last year.
That was exactly it, Will. That was exactly my point.
There's more, Sam. Don't do it. There's more. I'm filling this in for you. We had little Christian Roldan, who we reached for 2 years ago and has probably been one of the best draft picks that we've ever had. Played all 120 minutes of the MLS Cup final and looked like a little champ out there, and now he is a little champ. So I don't know.
Shining
I think North that
Star.
I think they would be maybe a little bit optimistic to hope for either of our dudes this year to repeat what we've done over the last 2 years. But yeah, I mean, I think I appreciate the fact that we traded away our first pick for 75K. I think that it's awesome, first of all, that the league has decided to start telling us how much money is involved in these transactions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of news for you. As part of the super draft, the league decides we are now going to start specifying publicly what the amounts of TAM and GAM are in transactions. We still don't know how much people have to spend, which is kind of the other part, which really is what makes it important in my opinion, but I think it's a good start. So,
oh, you haven't been following Sam. Right now we have X plus 75,000.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Good to know.
Good start.
I mean, we know we have money from winning the cup, right? If you win the cup, you get
Get some scratch, right? A little walking around money.
Yeah, if you make it to Champions League, you get some sort of salary bump to help you get enough depth to play there, which I'm assuming is what... Because I remember when we did that, we also picked up Cooper and...
Chad Barrett.
Chad Barrett, thank you, Will.
Chad Marshall.
And this year, that's perhaps Harry Shipp.
And oh, yeah! Bruin.
Which we haven't even talked about, guys.
William
How
Archibald
about
Bruin
the
III.
Sounders acquire.
You're a Sounder, Harry.
Yeah.
They said Harry.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Harry Shipp, the Harry MLS Shipp. Rookie of the Year. What did I say?
Harry Shipp. You said Harry, but I believe it's actually pronounced Airy.
Oh, that's right. Airy Ip. not to be confused with Harry Lip.
Different player. Great career, though.
Yeah.
MLS, he really grew on
MLS
me.
MLS Rookie of the Year, and then goes out to Montreal and kind of disappears a bit. Kind of gets crowded out in the midfield by a lot of other bright attacking players, but now back
like,
in Seattle ready to resurrect. Pardon?
You know, like a DDA Drogba.
What?
Yeah.
Get out.
So my question is...
Is Didier Drogba other... too good for Harry Shipp to see playing time?
Are there other...
They don't play the same position.
And then Will Bruin also kind of possibly the next big striker in the American kind of forward pipeline for the national team. Kind of, that was a couple of years ago. Now, I think he had like 6 or 7 goals last year and kind of fell by the wayside a bit. Maybe big, even less, like perhaps 5 or something.
Big, like tall?
Yeah. Or yeah, big like, guy.
Big,
big
like.
6'2".
The Dancing Bear.
Yeah. What? Is that his nickname?
Yeah, Will Bruin, the Dancing Bear.
How do you guys feel?
He does a little jig after he scores.
Oh, man.
How do you guys feel about these restoration projects?
Oh, well, I'm in on Harry Shipp. Totally
why?
In.
Why?
Why? I remember him being good in Chicago. Like, good touch on the ball. He was sort of their one bright spot for a long time, right? And the Sounders need, I think, a little bit of help with some holding midfield play so that Lodeiro doesn't have to be the only guy right in the middle. He could be out wide a little bit more and have someone in the middle occupying some space and some defenders. I think he's a good pickup for that. That's my thought. Do you guys agree?
He'll right the ship?
That we're on course?
I like it.
Smooth sailing from here on out?
I mean, I think that we know that... I think we know that MLS is like... not a big enough league to where we're just going to like churn through players like a meat grinder, but you're going
like
to see
propeller.
Like I was going to say like a meat grinder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, just throw some more bodies into the blades. But I mean like you're going to see those player transactions and it's not this constant like, you know, like let's get a new kid. Let's get a new kid that's younger from some other league that no one's ever heard of. Because we do need to send people around because that's going to like that's what's feasible right now with the salary cap and the talent pool available. So I think that for us to look within the confines of the league right now and pick up players that we feel are valuable, I mean, it's no different than Dax McCarty getting traded to Chicago or Will Johnson going to Orlando, right? Like
you don't think that the ship strategy is going a little overboard, though?
I think that we've got some stuff that's really anchoring us down.
There we go.
You know, I guess if we really wanted to double down on the Harry Ship strategy, we might have also picked up Drew Moore.
Oh yes.
You guys are really good at the fun game. I can't
You know, it's a little unfair, Sam. You could say that we've been rigging it.
Nice.
All right. Well, I got a couple puns brewing.
He's got puns brewing.
Yeah. Will Bruin. With you? I mean, you have to remember, Houston were terrible the last couple of years, really bad, and. This is a player that needs service, right? Will Bruin's not going to like create opportunities by himself, and the Sounders are full of attacking like options. And so I think I just see him kind of plugging in like Kenny Cooper did. I hate to make that comparison, big tall striker that perhaps doesn't quite have the aerial play that he should at that size.
Didn't Kenny Cooper play on the wing a lot too? He did. Is that this recollection more than you would playing, think. Yeah, out wide. And I don't see Bruin doing that. Although you could stick Morris out there, and he's shown that he can actually be good.
All I'm saying is, there's a lot of other options that will distract the defense, and I see Will Bruin getting a handful of kind of put away goals, where he's the last, you know, he's the guy who's getting the deflection, or you know, just Morris like Valdez finds him at the back post.
Just like Valdez.
Exactly. Are we ready to say goodbye to Valdez?
Like emotionally or fiscally?
Emotionally.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't think the Sounders get to the final without him.
They don't. His offside goal against Kansas City is what gets us to the final.
Right.
Well, you don't know that. But you're probably right.
I kind of do know that because it happened.
Yeah. I know. Nice guy. Do you guys follow him on Instagram?
You mention this like every episode, Ben.
Great Instagram account. Lately, it's him like working out without a shirt on in some like orchard in Paraguay. He's like doing the weave thing where you're like, instead of weaving through cones, he's like weaving through palm trees, like doing the little quick foot stomp. Like, that guy's working. He's working hard, man. He's working really hard in the off season. And he's gone. I don't know. I liked him. And he did some good stuff, but now he's gone.
But you know what he did?
No.
He won an MLS Cup this year.
He did.
You know who else won an MLS Cup this year? A little fellow by the name of Michael Farfan.
Oh, yeah.
You know who else won an MLS Cup this year?
Yeah, who else, Will?
A gentleman by the name of Damian Lowe.
Oh. He's gone now.
Are we going to go through all gone. The players that are departing?
Even the ones that never played a single competitive minute for the Sounders this year, they all won MLS Cups.
Yeah.
Dylan Remick.
Oh, yeah.
Remick is no longer there.
Remick's no longer there, Mensch.
Yep.
You had to mention it.
Remick's there. Remick's there.
Yeah, he's picked Remick's up in the there, one of the waiver drafts, I believe.
To Houston, pick right?
Up, yeah, the Sounders in turn pick up Brian Meredith, former goalkeeper. Probably going to be the third string or second string, depending on how it shakes out with Tyler Miller. But, yeah, let's take a quick look at the roster. Zach Scott, obviously, rest in peace. Off into the night illumination. Who else? The Lobo's still with the team, yeah?
O'Neal?
Who?
O'Neal Fisher.
Yeah.
I think he's got a bright future.
What about...
what's up with Herc?
He's gone. He's going to the studio to deliver hot takes for FS1.
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
Do we know about Mears yet?
I've heard that he is... No. I don't think that they have a contract for him, and it sounds very likely that he goes back to England.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Ivanchitz?
I think that he's in the plan for next year.
No way. I don't even have him on my roster right here. Okay.
Well, you should probably email the Sounders about that.
Okay.
And let them know that they can get rid of him.
Will, I just want to call you on your prediction. Multiple times last year, you offered the Brad Evans to become assistant coach or picked up by an expansion franchise prediction.
Oh, man.
He's still on the roster. He's a Sounder for life.
Give it one more year.
Yeah.
You're getting close, buddy.
You bring him back. I mean, you've clearly, Torres and Alfaro and Marshall, that's a pretty decent little crew of center backs. You move him up to Is he going to be like a utility midfield sub type?
Right, but he doesn't want to. Right, you know, back. He wants to play defense at right this back. Point. Yeah, no, I think right back is fine.
Over Mears?
Maybe.
Mears might be gone.
So if Mears is gone, I could see if Mears is gone, you play Evans there.
Yeah.
I mean, Evans is such a useful guy to have because you can play him in so many spots. But then I think it turns into the argument of, like, he's good everywhere, he's great nowhere. Right? Okay,
but he's, like, MLS good in a lot of places.
So he's shitty everywhere?
No.
And he's...
Hey. Nah.
No. I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, he's MLS good in a lot of positions. He can play pretty much anywhere, any one of the back four. He can play pretty much anywhere in the midfield. So, yeah, of the 10 outfield positions, he's pretty good playing 8 of them. But, I mean, is he a standout star at any of those positions?
No. Well,
I mean, every team needs a player like that, though, and I'm glad that our guy is like such a a positive team influence. Say what you will about Zach Scott. I'm not a huge fan of him, but there goes another like positive voice in the locker room, and maybe he becomes some sort of, I don't know, like boot equipment manager or something next year, but. Like, it's going to be a different type of locker room dynamic next year. You're losing Valdez, you're losing Scott. You need a guy like Evans to kind of hold everything together, I think.
Ties the room together.
Yep. Roman Torres doing his little dance. Little Don and Morris doing their little cutie bromance. Now there's a bromance triangle with Brian Nanasinkum. I gotta get the official ruling on that name. But yeah. Some new additions. You got Ship, you got Bruin. Jones is back. That's good. I think you keep him at midfield though, Ben, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's great.
Get some fullback help, I think.
Sure. I'm down.
Or go to the three man back line. You can put O'Neal Fisher.
Oh, that's the sauciest option of all.
I've got a saucier option.
What?
Get a bionic ACL for your boy Alex Anderson and put him at fullback.
Oh, do you stop that? I'm sad about him. I like that guy. Oh, boy. I know. Is he officially gone? There it says we don't know, I guess.
He was not... His contract was declined, so I believe... I'm guessing they're going to offer him some sort of S2 deal or maybe bring him back in if things don't pan out elsewhere with other options. But I have to think that better waters, you know, are afoot in other places. So.
Who's fast on the team, though, now? Jordan Morris.
I think they're going to go... Well, Dominic Aduro is pretty fast, apparently.
Yeah, the beta version.
Yeah. the Garth Lagerwey mentioned after the Super Draft that they're bringing a promising trialist that everyone's really excited about.
I think I saw a trialist play once. Actually, he was in league. I think he was on team.
Yeah.
Did you see trialist?
Yeah, play on he team? Made really good play too.
Yeah, nice. I remember play.
Yeah, it was cool. Pretty interesting. If you look at statistic, it was very good. So, the last time the Sounders had that happen, it was Mauro Rosales who played on a really tiny deal, and the next year was a DP. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe it could pan out. I'm guessing that's some sort of speed option, though, Ben, because that was something that Garth Lagerwey mentioned into the offseason that they need to get a little bit more speed on the wings. And, you know, the Sounders have... I'm looking it over here. About 19 players, assuming Fernandez and Mears are back. and assuming Yvonne, or
I thought Flacco was gone.
You know, so did I. It sounds like those reports were perhaps a little premature.
Oh, premature.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. And, if you got Lodiero in there, you want to...
Yeah. Keep the buddies together. That's sure.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Good. I just realized the roster I'm looking at doesn't even have... I haven't even added Lodiero.
Oh, same.
He's not... I know. I know.
That guy was pretty important.
Also on the list, a left back, Tolo. 19-year-old, apparently played for S2 last year.
S2 guy.
Yeah. Lagerwey likes him. He's trying to bring in Tolo, Delem, and Mathers. Zach Mathers.
Marshall Mathers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Marshall Mathers.
Zach Mathers.
Yeah, Slim Shady. They're bringing him in. They're going to kind of throw the ball up and be like, look, like who wants to make the team? So, yeah, some interesting options. And there's also this Adekoya kid from UCLA who's potentially in the mix for a homegrown player contract, as well as Wingo. What was his name? From UW, a right winger who apparently is also getting a look at homegrown players. So, sweet. Yeah, lots of players kind of getting plugged in, which is cool. I think Lagerwey is really trying to connect the dots between like the first team and kind of the development area and those younger players. So
that was sort of his mission from the outset, though. Hey, so it's cool to see that it's coming to fruition.
He's placing an emphasis on it.
Yeah.
I don't think apparently he wasn't very happy last year with how S2 was kind of being used with the first team. So I'm curious, okay. Maybe him and Schmetzer will see more eye to eye on that. But yeah. So that's kind of the roster as it stands. We got Montserrat, who really didn't get much of a look last year. And he's 19 now. So another year. I think he might be on the... I don't believe he's on the U20 national team anymore. Did you see if he made the team, Ben?
I thought he did. I kind of thought he did get called in. I was just going to say that he's still getting those calls. So it seems like it might be time to trot him out there a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you kind of give him a little bit more leash.
Sure.
Especially early in the year before the teams have kind of reached full fitness.
Yeah, and... like we say, the Sounders are going to have more games this year too, right? Champions League stuff and
that's right.
Open Cup, so that's good. That's cool. It's good not only to play against Mexican teams, hopefully, but yeah, get some other players out there, and hopefully Schmetzer's good with squad rotation. He kind of was forced to not do much rotating in the last bit of the season when he took over. You know, it was a lot of the same guys sort of shouldering the load, and so we'll see how he adapts to a full season of that. And you could sort of get away with that because like Torres was hurt and then came back, and Lodiero was still semi fresh, and so you could just tap into some old man strength with a bunch of the other guys,
right,
to ride him out through the playoffs. So I'll be curious to see how he does over the whole year. I think he'll probably do fine. He seems like he knows what he's doing, but to be seen.
I think the players are in on Schmetzer, which is good.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, and Schmetzer, like a good guy.
Schmetzer's a players' coach too. I mean, I think he's one of those coaches where the players feel like it's their team, and he's kind of guiding the ship. I hate using your ship analogies again.
Yeah, two P's.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So guys, let's kind of like zoom out a little bit and talk a little bit more about this season in general. Coming up 2017, coming right down the corner. Like what are your expectations? How do you want this year to improve on last season? In broad strokes.
Yeah.
If you want those, I keep going back to like these mid-season games just mattering a little bit more and being more competitive. Yeah, but I'm not sure there's enough structural change to really make that happen yet.
No, I'd say not yet. And I think, I mean, a little bit that helps is two new teams are coming in to the league. So it's at least, and Atlanta at least has made a bunch of really good seeming moves, and it seems like they're going to be good right off the bat. So that helps with the weird more than half the teams make the playoffs thing. So now it's 12 out of 22, so we're almost there. I think I'll be a little more Will on this one. It'd be really cool to see a bit more consistency from the Sounders. It was a really year full of swings. You forget, I mean, the Sounders were really bad in the middle of the year. They were also really good at the beginning of the year, weren't they? Or what am I thinking of? There was that, it was that stretch right after Lodeiro came when Dempsey was still playing that they also looked really good. So I think a little bit more consistency would be nice. And like you say, getting to rotate in some of the young guys would be pretty fun.
I think the thing that we forget, well, some of us forget, is that even though the Sounders were terrible at the beginning of the year, they should have been really good.
Yeah.
Like, they lost Martins, but I think everyone kind of thought they were underachieving.
Yeah.
And they definitely needed another piece. And I think the Sounders are just one of those teams that need a couple, like, kind of fulcrum players. And then they had a bunch of kind of beta supporting cast players that needed those engines. And, you know, like, maybe Morris, without that kind of swooning area of the season, doesn't learn quite as much about himself and how to play with the team.
Oh, a journey. Yeah.
If Obafemi Martins is there the whole time.
Yeah. I want to see him work on his goal celebrations a little bit. Jordan Morris.
They're adorable, though. It's just him being like, I should have scored even harder. I could score even more next time.
I'll do better, I promise.
Sorry, Dad. He's still trying to win the approval of Dr. Morris.
The shot on the sideline of his dad with his arms crossed. Just
like,
shaking
not good
his
enough.
Head.
Use your left.
Again. Yeah, I don't know, Sam. Are there additional things from the Sounders specifically or the league in general you'd like to see in 2017? Some sort of New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, New Year's resolution. I think the transparency thing is great.
Just want to be more honest.
The league just telling us how much each team is spending. There's no way to evaluate player transactions without knowing like how much money is involved. So that's a really great sign. It seems like a small thing, but honestly, when you start knowing like how much your team has to play with, all of a sudden when you have banter moments with your friends about a team, you can say, well, you know, we have $425,000 in GAM we can drop on somebody. So it just makes the conversation about the league a lot more interesting.
I still have a hard time knowing what that money means. Like, I don't know what's a lot of money, what's not a lot of money. Because when in the draft,
it means
this year,
the NYCFC spent a lot of money on Super Draft Day. They spent money that they no longer have.
Yeah, that's what? Yeah, well, they spent.
That's how
it.
Money works.
Right. And now they don't have it anymore, and other people do. So it doesn't matter, like, how much is a lot or how much is a little, like, in a vacuum.
Okay. Sure it does, though. Right?
No.
As a way of because evaluating how well you're spending your money? You're like, oh, I got this car, it was $50, or I got this car, it was $10,000.
But if the three of us...
We'll have an interesting story about the $50 car, probably.
If the three of us each have $1 million...
Like we do,
as such,
right? Like,
yes, I can. I'm following the story.
In the triangle of the three of us, like $1 million doesn't mean anything because we all have it. But if I have $10 and you have $0 and Sam has $0, I have a lot more money than you do.
Yeah.
When does the train leave the station again?
Sam had already left. You just didn't have a ticket because you didn't have enough money for it. But no, I mean, like, I don't think that it matters to know how much is out there necessarily, or like how to evaluate, like, I mean, like Ben, you're saying, like, how do I evaluate, like, what's a good amount of money to spend on someone?
Yeah.
And I, like, there isn't a metric that says, like, this is a, you know, like, this is the acceptable range, because every team is going to evaluate every player differently. And so then you say, was it worth, you know, NYCFC paying $75,000 for a draft pick? Like, I mean, they thought he was valued at $75,000.
But that's what's so fun about what's so fun about sports, though. I mean, the NBA is classic right now because there was this new collective bargaining agreement like 2 years ago or something, or a new TV deal or something, and every team is flush with cash right now. And so there was this last two free agency windows. The last 2 years have been so much fun because these really crappy players are all getting like $12 million a year contracts. And it's just that there's so much kind of like measurement going on in real time, but with all the fans where they're like, wow, so if this guy's worth $12 million, this guy must be worth blah, blah, blah. And that kind of equivalency stuff. I mean, we already saw it on draft day. Apparently a number 16 pick that the Sounders had is worth $75,000 to NYCFC. But if you take $100,000 and pair it with an international pick, that'll get you the number 4 pick, which the Timbers used to draft Eboise.
Eboise?
Yeah. So now we kind of have this like, okay, like that's how much this is worth now. And it's going to help us, like, in the future kind of grade how these things go. Because before it was just like, yeah, Harry Ship traded for undisclosed amount of money. Stay tuned for the, you know, it's like how, if it was a dollar, then that's a great trade. If it was a $500,000 of GAM, that's a different
less
transaction.
Good.
So,
yeah.
I agree, Will, that, like, it's a team-by-team basis. You know,
right? I mean,
you can argue for NYCFC in this case because Jack Harrison's pretty damn good, and I believe they picked him up using the same mechanic last year. So you know, there's different ways to spend money on this stuff. And
I mean,
no,
it
there's
just
no right
kind
way.
Of reminds me. It reminds me of like, you know, like when you're playing poker and it's the end of the night and everyone's bought back in a couple of times. And there's all this money there, and so stacks of money are moving around. You stop doing that, Ben. I can see you disagreeing with me. Like, money's moving back and forth, but it doesn't mean anything differently than it did earlier in the night in smaller sums.
What? I don't know. I don't follow.
I see
that.
Your point, Will. I
do
think
not.
That there will always be a desire by the fan bases to create rationale.
It's great.
And there will never be rationale, but there will be an inherent desire as a fan to do that. And that's what makes it fun, I think.
No, I think it's fun too. I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, knowing or not knowing, like, does it matter, like, how much money is out there per team?
I think right now it does because I don't know if $75,000 is a lot or a little. I have a sense that maybe it's like some, but not a lot,
yeah.
I think. But I don't know if that's like a lot yet. If it turns out that 75 is a ton, then I'm like, damn, Garth, like nicely done. Way to like trade that 16 pick. I don't know.
Well, and in a salary cap league, I think having more of that discretionary fund does make a big difference on who you can spend. Because you can spend that money on paying players to get under the salary cap, right? So if you've got more of that money, you can actually have a much better team, potentially, if you're spending
right.
it on those players. So I think especially
in the MLS.
You can have a
much more expensive team.
Okay, you can buy players that are more, you have to pay them a higher salary that are going to be better though. Like they're going to be better. not because you pay them more, but you, since you have more money, you can afford players that are better.
How much money did we how much money did we pay Shalrey Joseph?
You can't bring up Shalrey Joseph every time there's a the point I make that you don't agree with. He was pretty good too in his position that he actually plays, I would say.
For the Sounders?
For the Sounders. Wasn't he fine as a defensive midfielder?
Until he got a red card against LA in like the 14th minute after getting blown by three times.
Well, you know, people make mistakes.
He was Steve Nash with the Lakers. It's like, okay, you're good, but flashes. You used to be really good, but you are just a small whisper in the universe of your former self.
He had to go lay down for 5 minutes at a time every 10 minutes.
Go hit the bike.
Yeah. Get a fresh load of freshly dried laundry out of the dryer to lay on his lower back for a heat source. Loosen up those muscles. They had a little mini dryer right on the sideline there. No, well, I mean, I see your point. Of course, you're not always going to get better players with the money. But I think the Sounders have shown that overall they do a pretty good job lately anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, there were some misfires early on, but MLS was weirder when the Sounders came into the league. Even just then, in 2009, it's way different now.
And it sounds like the Sounders pretty much, I mean, they used a decent amount. Didn't they just use GAM for Ship and Bruin?
Probably.
Was it GAM or was it TAM?
They didn't send anything out, right?
I don't know the difference.
TAM is just when you are bringing a new player into the league and you use TAM to buy the player down out of DP status. So it's like a mid-level player.
What's FAM?
That's you and me. That's why this works.
Air horns.
No, I believe the Sounders acquired Harry Ship for GAM. So it's one of those weird trades where the Sounders acquire blah blah blah. Oh, what'd they send out? Just GAM. And I believe TAM and GAM for Will Bruin. Yeah. Which means that Houston can now use TAM to buy a player down. DP status.
That's so confusing. It's better. Yeah. It's still weird.
Yeah. I'd like to imagine that all these transactions are done by men wearing fake mustaches and passing the money back and forth in bags with big dollar signs on them.
Yeah. I think that is how it happens. There's like an old-timey stock ticker and a guy like cranking on an adding machine from the like 1920s. We got GAM coming out of our ears.
So funny story. Actually, we were up in Bellingham,
and we had a stock ticker.
No, we're up in Bellingham, and we're at a bar after the Ben Folds concert, and it turns out it's the weekend of Halloween, and it turns out that Western is in Bellingham. Right near said venue and said bar. And as I recalled, Halloween was a big time to dress up and go out in college. So we're sitting at the window and I look out and I go, oh, look at those bank robbers over there. And it turns out I was referring to the people dressed as bank robbers, and nice. I should have phrased it better. They looked very good. They had the striped shirts and the bags of money, and I was quite convinced.
Did you call the cops?
No, because I saw them coming right down the hill with the Pope and his sexy nuns.
Did you call the hot cops?
Oh my God, these hot cops! He's ruining his life. Police officer,
what? Oh no!
Well, we were going around. Oh, I want to echo you, Ben. I'm also looking forward to Minnesota and Atlanta being in the league. That's something I'm looking forward to. It's not really a resolution, but I love big, as Grant Wall puts it, teams with big ambition. And the more of those owners that sit at the board of governors tables, better for the league, I think. And it sounds like Arthur Blank with Atlanta is like awesome and really gets it and thinks that his club is going to be a really big deal. And so, yeah, it's going to be really fun to see them in the league. So yeah, Will, what are your resolutions for 2017? What are you looking forward to either from a league perspective or from a Sounders perspective?
I'm looking forward to the continued advancement of MLS as a global league. I think that, you know, every year we do a little bit better in the Champions League, and it feels like we're not as completely outclassed as we were at one point in time. And I think that you're seeing more and more of the national team players coming back and playing domestically. And I think that that's a really exciting thing to just have the perception of our league being elevated, you know? Like, if we can't be proud about the quality of the play here, then that's a bad thing. And I think that we're seeing the absolute opposite, where you have people saying, no, I want to come to this league. This is a growing league. This is a developing league. Like, there's opportunity here. And especially, like, you look in contrast to China, where they're just buying talent, but, you know, like, I don't know. It just seems like they're buying stuff because they can buy stuff. And here there's much more opportunity. So I'm excited for that. I think a good resolution for the Sounders is going to be make it through the year without exercising their one-time annual player buyout clause that generally seems to happen when they have to open up a roster space due to some, injury or retirement or terrible circumstance.
Oh, Will, you're another resolution of yours was to trash talk the Chinese Super League. I like that.
Yeah. It's I like to refer to it as Kung Pao Kicking.
Oh, get out of here.
That's so ridiculous. Is General Sal like a defensive midfielder or?
Oh, he was a winger.
Yeah.
Very fiery.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he runs up and down the field. But at the end of the game, you're like, did he play well? Like, I can't really. Anyway. So the Sounders are taking part in the third and fourth round of MLS Super Draft, or as Reddit said earlier today, the most common player selected in MLS Super Draft on stages 3 and 4 are Pass. A player named Pass. A lot of teams just don't even want a player. So, yeah, it'll be not interesting, but we'll see. I mean, certainly some guys to fill out the roster, perhaps. And then next Monday, MLS preseason opens. So, right back at it.
Monday?
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question before
a month and a half after the championship?
Holy cow.
How do you guys feel? If we're going to talk about like allocation money being traded back and forth, how do you guys feel about the viability of third and fourth round super draft picks being traded back and forth? Like, I'm not going to say that they're worthless, but if someone offered you a fourth round super draft pick, like, it's not good for anything.
What,
right?
Do I have to give up? Some GAM?
What would you be willing to give up for a fourth round super draft pick?
I don't know, bag of balls.
So do you think that the league would benefit from enacting a moratorium on third and fourth round super draft pick trading?
What is the harm in keeping it, Will?
That. One way or the other.
What's the harm in keeping it?
Seems like a worthless thing to trade.
Why not then just get rid of the later rounds altogether?
We are getting there, Ben. I think the homegrown players have kind of increased for each team every year, to the point where I mean, we almost have a separate first round, a dark round of the draft that doesn't even happen. It's like these are players that go directly to the clubs because they developed them, which is cool. I think that's kind of the future. Teams taking a vested interest in the development of their talent. So.
Yeah, totally. I'm scanning through. Oh, you know who was a third round draft pick in 2015? And a Craven. Andy Craven.
And a Craven. Oh, yeah.
So,
I bet he's craving more playing time.
He is really craving it.
Craving a break from his shift at something.
Applebee's.
I think, did you hear that his band is playing the inauguration?
Is that right?
Yeah. No word yet on whether he's also turned it down.
The Kung Pao Kickers finally got a gig, huh?
yeah
it's pretty barren. I'm just scrolling through Wikipedia's history of the third and fourth rounds of the MLS draft over the few years, and I only recognize Andy Craven's name. I don't recognize anybody else on here, so let's just get rid of it.
It's kind of a way. I think it's a way for the league to acquire the right to acquire the rights to a lot of just random soccer players.
It looks like there wasn't even a third round in 2013. It just stopped.
Was there one in 2012?
Prior to the reduction of the 2012 Super Draft to two rounds, trades were made which involved Super Draft round 3 and 4 selections. These selections were converted into 2012 MLS Supplemental Draft round 1 and round 2 selections. No, they were like, no, there's not enough to do. So let's cut it.
Was that just because they wanted more drafts prior to that?
Another draft. Yeah, I went to a bar the other day that had like 50 beers on draft, but I think MLS has more.
Ooh, you should come up with a proposal for how they should, you know, better that and maybe just send them a draft.
Yeah, I will draft that quickly. There was one in 2011, so I think this falls into the classic MLS pattern of, we'll just make it up.
Well, the Sounders have...
best league.
The Sounders have a third-round pick from their trade with David Estrada to DC United.
Oh.
Who?
Back in 2014.
That's pretty 2014,
spicy. We got that pick.
And that's coming up now?
Tomorrow they will have pick 56 due to David Estrada going to DC United.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
What else did we trade in that trade?
That's it. We were getting of him. We were getting rid of him, and we were acquiring a third-round pick in 2016.
Sean Johnson. Buddy. Sean Johnson was a fourth-round draft pick in 2010.
Like the Sean John?
Yeah, Sean John. He's even got a little star by his name in the Wikipedia entry.
Because he was the only person to have like made it out of the nether rounds of the draft?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. He was taken one pick after Irving Garcia and one pick before Ofori Sarkodie. Nice. So there's hope.
When did the Sounders pick up Tony Alfaro? Second round. Okay.
Second round.
Is Sean Johnson the Michael Jordan of super drafts?
Yeah. Yes.
The Philadelphia Union must really be kicking themselves for not drafting him.
Oh, Quincy Ameriquois, Mike Grella. 2009 round 3 was ripe with talent. Ish.
League was smaller then.
Oh, you guys know who got drafted in round 4 of the 2009 MLS Super Draft, pick number 46?
Wondolowski?
No. There's a there's a connection with our favorite MLS team. No. No. Kind of a heart. Yes.
Mike Fecito?
Mike Fecito. See, there's talent in there.
Where did he go to school?
Where? It's a little place, actually. He really pulled himself up by his bootstraps. I think it's pronounced Harvard?
He went to... Did you guys see that he was at...
Harvard?
He had some decent seats at MLS Cup and had like a... He took a selfie of himself and was like, "Hey, guys, here I am at MLS Cup."
Was he wearing a Sounders jersey?
He must have been.
Was it a cardigan? He must have been
supporting the
Sounders.
Is it
like a Sounders polo vest? No, I did not see that.
Or as Casey133K on Twitter says, "Mike Fecito was hanging out in our section. Evidently, he is retired and looking for work with the Sounders."
Oh, buddy. Sorry, bud.
Apparently difficult to apply your Harvard degree.
Oh, God. Steven Lenhart was taken in the fourth round in 2008. Guys, I'm in too deep. I'm in too deep.
Next week, I'd like to talk to you guys a little bit more about the U.S. Men's National Team Camp Cupcake. It's a pretty much all domestic squad with lots of MLS players coming in. A few like Bruce Arena, kind of new guys or old guys getting life breathed in to them. Benny Failhaber, namely, Dax McCarty. So yeah, just kind of want to follow like the trajectory of those guys. Guano Gudelo kind of trying to make their way back into the light. So we'd love to talk to you guys about that, wrap up on the super draft, and we can talk about, you know, training camp opening. I mean, it seems like just yesterday we were hoisting the cup above our heads. But here we are.
That's what happens when you're the champ.
That's right. We are on the staircase to a new season, so pretty exciting.
Yeah. Here we go. Again. That's right.
I also want to go through and reread some really funny tweets by kind of new USA fans on Twitter that were basically not understanding that this camp is always domestic players. And so their realization was just like, "Bruce Arena, what are you doing? All American players, this is ridiculous. Da, da, da." And it's like, "Hey, Jurgen Klinsmann did this too. They do this every year." Psst. Anyway, it was really funny. We'll have to do some dramatic readings of that. So
good.
So yeah, I'm gonna send us away with some special Harry Ship music. That's right, Enya, "Sail Away." Take us out, Enya. This is Sam Hardy alongside me, Will Pearson and Ben Johnson. Take it away, Enya. Signing off. I love that album.